You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with National MP Ryan Hamilton.
Last week, the Prime Minister revealed his cabinet reshuffle, which saw major changes to the roles of two prominent MPs and ministers, Chris Bishop and Simeon Brown. Last week also saw the passing of the Resource Management Auckland Housing Amendment Bill after years of discussion, paving the way for a new approach to housing density and intensification in the future. Of course, the fuel crisis is still hitting New Zealand, and discussions remain about the role what public transport should play and how the government should support public transit. This week, I spoke with National Party MP Ryan Hamilton about each of these topics, beginning with the cabinet reshuffle. Just to get us started, I want to ask some questions about last week's cabinet reshuffle. Obviously, this is a relatively important move, especially looking forward to the rest of the government's term and moving forward into the election. But how confident is the National Party that these changes will strengthen the position of the party?
Oh, you know, we obviously have full confidence in the Prime Minister to make those calls, and he's always said, you know, he's got to make sure he's got the right people in the right places at the right time. And so, yeah, we're just obviously getting in position to put our best foot forward as we move into the campaign period a little bit later this year.
A lot of focus has been on Simeon Brown as kind of a big winner in this reshuffle. Why has the Prime Minister moved to give what is a large portfolio in energy, especially given the fuel crisis, to a minister that's already handling quite large portfolios like health?
Yeah, it wouldn't be appropriate for me to comment on. Obviously, that's something the Prime Minister's chosen for whatever reason. But certainly, Simeon is an impressive minister and got a great track record.
A lot of conversation has also been had around Chris Bishop, kind of conversely losing some roles with Leader of the House and Campaign Chair. What does the National Party have to say, particularly around any concerns that, as somebody whose name frequently has been brought up in conversations about confidence in Christopher Luxon's leadership, that he's had roles stripped away from him in this reshuffle?
Oh, I just point you to Chris Bishop's own comments where he says, "I serve at the pleasure of the Prime Minister." Obviously, he enjoyed those previous roles, but equally is excited at the huge, you know, responsibility and honour that comes with the Attorney General. So I'm sure he's got plenty to sink his teeth into with that. And of course, the ongoing RMA reforms and as Minister of Transport, etc., he's got a lot on his plate.
And just kind of looking at the general way that now a lot of these, you know, these positions are sitting, can we expect politicians like Simeon Brown to kind of be playing a major role in the National Party going forward? Obviously, he was already a major MP, but particularly picking up that role of campaign chair, can we expect him to really be a linchpin of the campaign?
Oh, I think it's a strategic role, and obviously he's shown huge competence in other areas, so if that's anything to go by, I think National will be in a great position leading into the campaign.
And moving on, Chris Bishop was also in the news last week over the passing of the Auckland Housing Amendment Bill. What does this bill actually change for housing?
So the Auckland and I guess a lot of councils in the last few years have had a lot of churn around district plans, and one of those things was around the MDRS, or the Medium Density Residential Standards, which essentially was the 3x3 bill, which sort of was a carte blanche approach to, you could put three houses up to three stories high on any section, and it sort of created a bit of a a scuttle amongst councils and regions, in that it really forced them to look at the urban planning rules and actually could they have infrastructure in the ground to support that type of development. And so I guess over the last 5 to 6 years you've seen lots of iterations come, and then I think it was 2 years ago now we made the MDRS optional for some councils where they could have a little bit more flexibility around it. Auckland's has obviously been a lot more complex, and when we upzoned for housing was sitting at around 2 million, and Aucklanders weren't particularly thrilled with that, because again it still meant that to achieve that capacity it had to infiltrate a lot of the suburban areas where, you know, there was concerns from community that Would it be appropriate for the character or style or even the infrastructure in some cases of those areas? And so it got scaled back. I think it was sitting around 1.6. And now with further conversations with the mayor and the council, we've landed at 1.4, which we kind of feel is that sweet spot where they can still achieve massive housing growth because they need to, as New Zealand's largest and densest city. But it gives them a little bit more optionality. And obviously our focus is to support it around CBD, town centres, along the City Rail Link corridor, where it makes sense. And some of the, I guess the forecasting says they'll probably still achieve 1.6 million in terms of housing zone. So we think that number's, you know, that sort of the happy medium where it's more achievable. It gives more nuance and flexibility to the local communities, but also provides for that sweet spot in terms of growth.
And you've already kind of touched on it there, but obviously a lot of the changes with this bill kind of fall into the council's lap. But what is the government or the National Party's specific kind of vision for how a lot of these changes will play out in Auckland?
Well, I think it's really our message is let's build density where it makes sense, which is around, you know, the City Rail Link corridor. So, you know, obviously government over, you know, multiple colours of government in the last, you know, 10 years, I guess, has invested in that City Rail Link corridor. And when government invests in infrastructure, the land value of that, those areas associated, go up in value because of its benefit, its proximity, its accessibility. But it also makes sense to invest in this. So for investors, it makes sense because the land value goes up, but they can also get the, you know, the tenancies to support and fill it. So I think, like you do in overseas cities, we want to see more density around those types of areas, around the CBD. A lot of CBDs across New Zealand, I can speak for Hamilton as well. You know, we've got big suburban malls. I don't know if you're familiar with the Base. You know, it drew a lot of traffic and retail spending out of the CBDs. And so the CBDs, and this is a phenomenon that's happened around the world in some places, it sort of pulls out. The CBD has to redefine itself. And I think for a lot of us in New Zealand, it's really got to be about live, work and play. How do we get more high density living in central cities? So then you have the population which supports the hospitality and supports those, you know, those local economies. So I think this sets Auckland up for a lot of that. So it'll be exciting to watch it unfold.
A lot of... At various points kind of during this process, a lot of tension has arisen between particularly Mayor Wayne Brown and ACT Party leader David Seymour over minor parts of these changes. Obviously, the ACT Party has their own stance on a lot of housing intensification issues. Does the National Party kind of want to, especially going forward into maybe the election, is the National Party trying to keep their position on these issues distinct from the ACT parties?
Yeah, look, I mean, we can't speak for David Seymour and the ACT Party. I'm not quite sure where he's gone in terms of his views lately on that. But, you know, our position is pretty clear. We want housing where it makes sense. And obviously that's then got to link up to public transport and accessibility. So that's really where our focus is on.
And just finally, the mayor also has spoken around the government's priorities during the fuel crisis, namely in calling for a focus on kind of public transit in the midst of this fuel crisis. Specifically, he's called for an increase in investment through lowering transit prices. Is this a potential area that we could see the government moving in going forward for support?
I mean, at the moment, we're obviously wanting to do targeted approach. You've heard us talk about targeted, timely and temporary. So we're really wanting to help those that feel the pinch the most, which is around the squeezed middle. We've seen a big lift in public transport uptake, which is obviously fantastic, but that's happened without, you know, government or local government having to reach in and subsidise. So in some ways, you'd argue that the mechanism is working. Where we've obviously tried to support is in that and work families with the $50 a week, but also last week around the disability support, trying to increase that as well. So really targeting where we think our spend can be the most effective rather than sort of a broad-based subsidy where people that may not necessarily need the support as much can still benefit from it.
So is it fair to say that the government is not currently considering any specifically public transport targeted support?
I wouldn't be so bold as to say they're not, but certainly I'm not aware of it at the moment.
That was National MP Ryan Hamilton on about the cabinet reshuffle, the Auckland Housing Amendment Bill, and public transport in the fuel crisis.
That was our weekly chat with National MP Ryan Hamilton.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.